Well, we just sung that song. Is it well with your soul? Can you sing that song and know without a shadow of a doubt that it's well with your soul? Or did you miss the mark? Many people are out there shooting at something and they've missed it. They haven't got it. It's not right. They have doubts. It's tearing them up. They don't understand it. You have people rubbing them trying to say it's okay, it's okay. And I thank God that me and my family who sat in those pews for 4 years lost, that we had a man of God who wouldn't come up there and try to tell us that we were saved, that we would try to convince him, Pastor, would you just let us know if we're saved or not? It's in your Bible. You go find that out. You go find that out for yourself. You get along with God and you find that out by yourself. And I thank God that we had a man who would stand up here and he would preach the word of God to us without compromise. He would tell us things that were hurt. It's painful. We heard about that last night when a baby's in the birthing canal, how painful that is for a woman. That's how it is for salvation. I was in that birthing canal for 4 years, sitting right in that pew where my wife is at. Painful. Depressed. I would sit on the edge of my bed and say, Lord, not another day. I can't do it. You said there was going to be relief in this thing. Where's the relief? What about the stuff that happened to me in my past? What about those people that done those things and the things that I'd done to people? And the Lord's voice just said, Dale, I can't deal with you until you see yourself as I see you. Yeah. You know what happened? He took care of everything in my past.
Yes.
But I had to see myself the way he seen me first. You know, I was always so bent on what was done to me. Wondering why I couldn't get this healing. Why I kept, no matter what I'd done, no matter with what religion, no matter what I tried to fill it with, that it just never filled that void in my heart. I kept wondering over, what is this thing? How come I'm not getting this thing? And God had to just show me, you're a rebel. You're a rebel against the holy God. And I wouldn't hear it. Today I want to give a message on sowing defiled seed. Sowing defiled seed. Now, I didn't plan on preaching Youth Week. You asked my wife. I wanted to sit back and just hear preaching this week until we left Wednesday. Pray for us. We're leaving for Maine either Wednesday night or Thursday. We're going to do a meeting up there. And I wanted to sit back and I wanted to get preached to. Last Saturday, I said, I'm going to sleep in. I used to get up between 3:30 and 4 o'clock in the morning. I do my reading and my prayer, and I love it. I don't regret it for one hot minute that I do that. But I got up and I said, I'm going to set my alarm clock. I'm going to get up at least 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock sleeping into me. 4:22, I wake up wide awake. I even went to bed later thinking I would sleep in. I said, why am I awake? And as soon as I sat down and opened my Bible, the Lord gave me this message, and I knew immediately why I was awake. I knew immediately why this message was going to be. I knew exactly where it was going to be. I didn't know what day. I didn't know what time. Matter of fact, I never even bugged the guy to preach. Usually I do. I try to stay away from him. And last night he told me, you're preaching 10 o'clock. And I knew it. God confirmed it to me. You're going to be up there. This is the message on sowing defiled seed. And so if you would, turn with me to Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, it's a very short verse. But there's many truths in this verse and throughout the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 22, we're going to go to verse 9. It's good to get that alone time with the Lord. If you can, I mean, listen, you're never going to find time. You're going to have to make time. I remember my pastor telling me that years ago. And that just stuck in my heart. I said, he's absolutely right. So you know what I did? I forsake sleep to spend time with the Lord. That's what I do. And I'm in pain. I suffer horrible agony in my back and my neck and stuff. I suffer. I don't sleep much. But you know what, Stephen? I wouldn't give up the time I spend with the Lord for days like this for anything. I can get sleep at another time. It's just the truth. That's just how I live. I can sleep at another time. You know why? I lived for 40 years putting every single effort and living for the devil and my flesh. I live for absolute hell. I put every single thing into that. I lost sleep. I hurt myself. I mean, I put every bit of that into living that way. And I'm going to do the same for Jesus Christ with whatever time I have left. That's just because of the change in my heart. That's because of what God has done for me. That's because He says your body should be a living sacrifice. It's acceptable to Him that we say, "Here, Lord, here's my body. Do what you would with it." But remember, you're bought with a price. You're not of your own anymore. We seem to have lost that here in America. "Be holy, for I'm holy, saith the Lord." Jesus Christ, when He fell asleep, He knew what was going on. When we fall asleep, we don't know what's going on. When we don't spend time in the Word, we don't know what's going on. How about that? You say, did that make your day perfect every day that you get up and do that? No, it doesn't. But what if I missed that day? You know what? I might have handled things a whole lot different if I missed it. Maybe something was going to happen in my life that day, and the answer was going to come for me in that morning. And if I did not read, guess what? I missed it. Now I made a wrong decision and wonder why I have chastising on me. Wonder why God's not hearing my prayers, because I missed it.
Right.
Deuteronomy 22:9 says, "Thou shalt not sow thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds." Many different seeds, He's saying. You shall not sow your vineyard with many different seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. And what God is trying to teach here is that in the vineyard, there's only one kind of seeds that should be sown, not many. Anything other than the seed that God commands to be sown is defiled. Any other seed that is to be sown, that God commands to be sown, any other seed is defiled. The Bible calls it that way. God sees it that way. That is it. And it goes on and says, we see this going on with the Word of God today between the King James Bible and the other perverted versions. I refuse to call them a Bible. They are not a Bible. They are perverted versions. They are books, and that's all they are. They do not have the honor of being called a Bible. God gave us the perfect seed, which is the Word of God. Luke 8:11, Jesus Christ is talking about the seed and the sower. And He says, the seed is the Word of God. That seed that we're planting is the Word of God. Many are trying to sow diverse and defiled seed and trying to claim it as the Word of God. It's not going to happen. God didn't command for those seeds to be planted. He commanded that this seed, which is the Word of God, to be planted. This is the one we're supposed to be going out and sowing. And it goes on, it says, the fruit is defiled, as we've seen in Deuteronomy 22:9. It says, lest. You see, there's something there. If you're sowing the wrong seed, it says, hang on, there's something else to that verse. It doesn't just end there. It says, lest the fruit of thy seed that thou hast sown and the fruit of the vineyard be defiled. If there's anything else besides what God has commanded, it's going to be defiled. There is no maybe or how about. It is defiled. He doesn't put a clause in there and say but or maybe or any of that. He just says straight up, it is defiled. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You can either turn or listen or write it down, because I'm going to move rather quickly here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus speaking here. Matthew chapter 7, we'll start in verse 16, go right down to verse 23. And it says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by the fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice Jesus goes from talking about good and evil fruit to people who are claiming to have that fruit, but yet they've been the defiled seed has been sown in their life. He went from talking about what fruit is going to be produced by what seed to talking about people who are claiming to have the good fruit, but in reality their life is full of the evil fruit because the wrong seed has been planted in their life. These trees were planted as defiled seed. Corruption and being defiled begins with what seed has been planted. You see, it doesn't have to grow up before we can notice that the fruit is defiled. It's the very seed that's planted that's defiled. And therefore, the only outcome is going to be, it's going to be defiled seed. It's going to be defiled fruit. It's never going to be a good evil fruit or a good fruit. It's always going to be an evil fruit. Although they brought forth fruit, Jesus called it an evil fruit. Why? Because the seed is defiled, therefore the fruit is defiled. God called it defiled. God sees it as defiled. And even if we don't, God does. We try to make the excuse in our head. Well, that person really is bringing forth fruit. We see that with our eyes. We have human eyes. We judge things by our past. We judge things by what we have seen. We judge things by our experiences. And we are looking at it through our eyes instead of stopping that and looking at it through God's eyes. He calls it defiled, and that's all there is to it. It can't produce good fruit. A corrupted seed cannot produce good fruit. Jesus Christ made that clear. It cannot happen. But yet, this is what we have people living today. We have people who have been sown the perverted versions. That seed has been planted in their life and they claim salvation out of it. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ says there is not salvation in that. It's a corrupted seed. You mean to tell me all of a sudden a corrupted seed turns into something good? Either Jesus called it corrupted for a reason, or he's a liar. Or he's a compromiser. Maybe he's a compromiser. Is that what it is? Well, Numbers 23:19 tells me something totally different. He says that God is not a liar, neither the Son of Man. God is not he doesn't have a reason to lie. Do you know God wouldn't lie to keep me out of hell? So why would he lie about his seed? Why would he lie about the fruit? Why would he lie about that and tell you, no, hey, listen, I'm just going to tell you something here, Tanya. You can go ahead and be sown with corrupt seed, but you'll bring forth good fruit. That doesn't make sense to me. It drives me nuts when I hear that. It drives me up the wall because you know why? There were for many years, many of those corrupt seeds were planted in me. And all I produced was evil fruit. You don't believe me? Ask my mother. She watched me go in and out of prisons, drug rehabs, mental hospitals, being on the street, and everything else. And that's what those seeds being sown in my life. How about it? When God's seed that he commanded to be sown was sown in my heart, it produced salvation.
Amen.
It didn't produce what mankind gave me. It produced what God gave me. Because he said, this is the good seed. This is the seed that should be planted. God says it, and we are to believe it. We cannot pick and choose what we want to believe. We must take it as a whole. It drives me nuts. I just got through some college courses, getting my doctorate. It drives me nuts hearing them guys pick and choose what they want. It drives me crazy when they want to go out there and they can't teach out of a King James Bible alone. They got to teach out of every other Bible to try to prove something right. But here's what gets me. If they want to make a good solid point, they use a King James Version. Why not just use it all the time?
Yeah.
Why are we mixing this thing in there? It's not going to produce the fruit that you're looking for. I know one thing I have to say is I thank God that I did not learn my Bible in any college. I learned it right here in the pillar of the ground of truth, where a man of God, men of God who come in here, they preach it to us. They give it to us exactly the way it's supposed to be. They sow that seed, and guess what? It brings forth good fruit. How about that? Isn't that what Jesus Christ said was going to happen? Sure is. You guys know, you've been in the ministry a lot longer. The vineyards out there, the churches, What are they producing? Corruptness. They're producing false lives. Why? Because the wrong seeds are being sown. You go, but there's King James Bible churches out there. I'll get a hold of you with that in a minute. I got something for that too. I got an answer for that. God gave me the answer for that. Here it says, 1 Peter 1, 23 and 25 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. That's it. That's as far as we have to go. But not, it says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by what? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth sometime. If you got a King James Bible, that says forever. Abideth forever. I want you to know on the end of those words that when you see an ETH on the end of that word, that means it's something that continues to happen. It never ends. I didn't have to go to college to learn that. My King James Bible taught me that, sitting down with the Spirit of God. I promise you, I don't take anything that I've ever learned anywhere else and I put it in my... I sit down with my Bible every single morning. I sit down with the Spirit of God. I said, now you teach me. You said you would. Go ahead. I'd rather have Him teach me. Because then I know it's right. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. Why do we listen to them then? Why are they trying to replace the Bible with their knowledge? It drives me nuts because I was trapped in that. And the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. It made me think I was something that I wasn't. And I would sit there and I would write letters to my mom while I was in prison. And I'd send her verses and, oh, look how much I changed, Mom. Oh, ain't I a good boy? Knowing deep inside I was trying to convince them with my knowledge. Trying to convince them that I was saved because I knew I was lost. I couldn't get myself to the point of figuring out how does this thing work? How does this salvation thing work? But I wanted to show everybody all the knowledge that I had. And I'd walk around puffed up, thinking I was something that I wasn't. And then you ask my wife, I came out of prison. And when I came out of prison, I could quote verse after verse after verse. I can quote any Bible you wanted just about. NIVs, ESVs, NIVs, New King James, King James. I could quote all that stuff. I almost could speak some Greek and Hebrew that I took some classes in, listening to them on the tape for about a year. Thank God. God erased all that out of my head. Thank God, because you know what it would have done? It would have kept me shackled. I've been made free. How have I been made free? It says you should know the truth and the truth will make you free. I got the truth sitting in front of me, therefore I'm all good. Amen. I got what I need. I got the word of God that's been sown in my heart. And it goes on and it says, for all flesh is of grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass, and the grass withereth and the flower falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Well, if we would just listen to those little words, if we would just listen to what's being said, this is the word. This is the gospel that's being preached unto you. That means we don't have to go anywhere else. Could you imagine? I hear it all the time. Well, if you want a deeper understanding, if you want deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ, you got to know Aramaic and Hebrew and Greek, and you got to know this and that. My brain is half fried from all the drugs and alcohol I've done. I was a knucklehead out there. I didn't live to come in and have God tell me you have to learn all those languages to understand it. No, He gave me a King James Bible and said, here, you want to know me? Here I am. Hey. Here I am. I don't need all that other nonsense. Yeah. Hey. You want to know God? Just get in your Bible. Sit alone with Him. Pray. God, teach me these things. I don't care to know that stuff. I hear people say it all the time. Good, you keep it. I don't need it. God gave me exactly what I needed. And anything He wanted interpreted, He did it right in the Bible. How about that? He didn't have to. I don't have to go into what to know, understand what He said. He says it right there for me. The problem is nobody wants to study. The problem is they want all of us to stand up here and give them the answer. The problem is they want to listen to books and CDs, and I'm not against that stuff. But you know what? It should never become your mainstay. That King James Bible should always be your mainstay. They've put it away. Why? Because they'd rather hear what man has to say. How'd that man get that stuff? And if you're just going to sit there and take it, You better go check it out. Is that what the Bible's really saying? Because I'm telling you, King James Bible believing people put books out there that don't agree with the King James Bible.
Yeah.
How would you know that if you're not checking it?
Just as we've seen in Deuteronomy 22, there is a corruptible seed. And in that corruptible seed, the Bible is clear. You can only be born again of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, the King James Bible. If you claim to be a King James Bible believer, ask yourself this. If the King James Bible is the incorruptible Word of God, what does that make the other perversions? Corruptible, okay? They're corrupted. They're no good. The Bible says, a corrupt seed cannot change through the growing process and bring forth good fruit. That seed is not just all of a sudden, it was sown in corruption, it's going to reap in corruption. That seed is not going to sow, be sown, and then all of a sudden grow up into some beautiful. No, it doesn't happen that way. Either that or the Bible's a lie. That's up to you. Hey, you can choose whatever you want, but I'm telling you now, when you're going to stand there before a holy God, and you're going to have to answer for that one day, he's going to say, you know, you listened to that corrupted seed that somebody sown to you, and you ignored the word that I tried to give you, you ignored the preachers that I tried sending your way, because you wanted to hear what you had to hear, you wanted to hear what man had to say, and you put away what I had to say. The Bible says we're born again by the incorruptible. Are we to believe that God would use a form of corruption to save somebody? Is that what it's really come down to? That we'll believe that God would use a form of corruption to save somebody? A holy and merciful and perfect and holy God would go ahead and do something like that? And he wouldn't even tell me a lie to save me from hell, but he'll use something corrupted? That doesn't make sense to have a God like that. And if you're serving a God like that, like Pastor said last night, I damn that God. Because you know why? It's damning you. Plain and simple. Here's what God thinks of his word. David made it clear. He says, I worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Why? For God has magnified thy word above all his name. How about that? God has set his word above his own name. And you mean to tell me we're going to sit here and listen to some pipsqueak man tell us that you don't have to believe it, that you don't have to trust that thing, that you have to search here and search there and go this and do that to get it? No, God says it's right here. He set it above his own name. It's done. Goes on to say in Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word might be until man comes along be settled in heaven. No, it is settled. It's over with. It says this, it's settled. Believe it, receive it, and live it. What we want to believe can't change what God has already settled in heaven. What we try to force, what we try to make ourselves believe will not change in heaven. God has already settled it in heaven. It's done. It's over with. It cannot be any more changed. It's settled. When God settles something, it's for eternity. His word is settled forever in heaven, and we have man trying to change it. I got a few minutes. Satan and the false teachers are doing the work of their father. You can read that in John chapter 8, verses 43 through 47. They're doing the work of the devil. And it says that he's a lie and there's no truth in him. And that started way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, where the devil, Satan came to Eve and he deceived her. How did he deceive her? By making her doubt God's word. And it's been going on ever since. It says, Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord thy God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? At this very moment, and it continues on today, the devil got Eve to doubt the word of God, and he's still doing the same today. The devil, by being subtle, which means to be sly, cunning, crafty, deceitful, treacherous,
You know what that means? He didn't come and just start changing the whole entire Bible. You know what he did? He started one word at a time. Right. He started doing it one at a time. Why is he sneaky like that? He's crafty. And do you know what that did? He didn't come in just trying to change the doctrines. He changed the words that would change the doctrine.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Good. That's how crafty he is. That's how sly he is. And here we are. We sit there with our hands folded. Oh, it's all right. It's not all right. Because it's not just the NIVers. It's the King James Bible believers doing it. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to hear it over and over and over, church after church after church. I've only been saved 6.5 years. I ain't even been around that long. And I just see it and I go, oh my goodness. What has happened? The devil. He's sly. He's crafty. Doing it one word at a time. He gets people to doubt the word of God, and then he continues to deceive them by changing the word of God and trying to pass it off as a chosen seed of God, and it's not. Paul gives a stern warning in 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. He says, but I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds. I want you to stop right there and understand this. The devil doesn't have to attack your heart. Jeremiah 17:9-10 says your heart is already desperately wicked. It's even more wicked than the devil himself. So in your New Testament, Paul warns you over and over and over again to protect your mind. Protect your thoughts, because once the devil gets in your thoughts, your heart will agree with it. Your heart will follow what the devil wants you to do. All he's got to do is trick your thinking. And boy, does he do it. Boy, does he do it. It says, keep a sober mind. That doesn't mean just abstain from drugs and alcohol. That means anything that makes your thinking what it ought not be, stay away from it. Put on the helmet of salvation. Why? Don't let the devil get in there. Protect your mind over and over again. He says, protect your mind because your heart's already wicked. He says, so protect your mind so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. This is something that continues to happen, okay? They don't just preach it one or two times. They continue to preach it. Another Jesus. What do you mean there's another Jesus? That's right. That comes out of Isaiah 14 where the devil says, I will be like the Most High God, not the opposite of him. So how does he do that? Well, he puts his own version of the Bible out there, puts his own music out there, puts his own churches out there. Bingo, there you go. Now he'll be like the Most High God. Matter of fact, Paul says he calls himself another Jesus.
Right.
Paul's warning of us that. There's another Jesus out there, he says. And he says, not only that, but he says, another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted. That you might bear well with them. Well, you might as well. If you're going to go ahead and start believing any little bit of that corrupt seed, he says, you might as well just go ahead and bear with them. Go ahead, go with them then. Go ahead. If the devil's got your mind any little bit and any inkling convinced that this Bible is not the Word of God 100%, that's all you need, nothing else, just what's in front of you, then you might as well go out there with the NIVers and everybody else. What can you trust if you can't trust this Bible sitting in front of you?
That's right.
Let me ask, if I ask a question, everybody in here will probably raise their hand. I say, is God all powerful? Is there anything he can't do? Oh yeah, he's all powerful. Then why can't he preserve a perfect word? Why can't it be sitting in front of us? I believe it is. I'm just that crazy to believe that. And let me just say this. And no jab at my mother. She knows we had these talks. But my mother never stepped foot in a church. My mother never brought us to church. I wasn't brought up on the Bible. I started hearing about Bibles and stuff when I got into a boys' home and jails and prisons. That's where I started hearing about this Jesus. So it has nothing to do with my upbringing about me believing the King James Bible. There's life in this thing.
Amen.
That woman sitting right there used to pray that God would kill me because she didn't want to divorce me. She loved me, and she would pray that God would take me out. He did. Through this Bible, he brought me to repentance and salvation.
Yeah.
How about that? And raised up a new husband for her. How about that?
Yeah.
Woo! Hey, let me just tell you this. Religion couldn't touch me.
Right.
NIVs and all that. Those Bibles couldn't touch me. This one that's called Alive touched me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love the evangelists. I love you guys, the preachers. But none of you were coming to my house and teaching me how to be a husband. None of you are teaching me how to be a dad.
Yeah, come on.
None of you are teaching me and my wife how to tithe and be faithful to the Lord. You're not coming into my house. You're not looking at my windows and telling me what I'm doing wrong.
That sure does, amen.
God said, you're a family spiritual leader. You can't be a leader without your manual.
That's right.
If you're trying to do it without your manual, you'll always fail. It'll never work out. Put everything down, shut the world down, and turn God back up.
Hey,
Eric Balow told me that one day. I'll never forget it. He taught it my Sunday school class. He said, Dale, you know why people can't hear God? He said, the world's up too loud, and they can't hear God's still small voice. I'll never forget that. Some ask, does this need to be preached in a Bible-believing Baptist church? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been around enough so-called Bible-believing churches to see people claim and to even carry King James Bibles. But they teach, live, and use NIV, ESV, and other perversions, words, teachings, doctrines, and they don't even understand that they're doing it. They're even so blind that they don't even understand they're doing it. You hear it all the time. Example, the holiest of holies. That's an NIV statement.
Right.
The most holy place. The holy place. That's what your King James Bible calls it.
Amen.
And you got people out there and they're teaching the churches NIV things.
Amen.
They don't even realize it. They don't even understand it. You know why? They got it from somebody who wrote a book, but didn't check in their Bible to see if it was right. Now they're sowing corrupt seed in their own church. King James Bible believers. And let me tell you, I can go on and on and on and on, okay? I can show you hundreds and hundreds of times just sitting there listening to the classes from a Christian college. You ask Pastor, I would go to him and say, man, this is just driving me nuts, Pastor. This is torture listening to this stuff. You know what, though? Not all Bible colleges are that way. There are some good ones. I'm not saying that. I know this. Baptist churches are filled with preachers. All the knowledge they have is what that college has taught them.
Yep.
And they're sowing corrupt seed in it. They're sowing corrupt seed in those churches, and those people are lost and dying and going to hell because of it.
Right.
This is the devil doing this to Eve, and he's warning Paul, and Paul is giving a warning how subtle the devil is. This is what has led us to what the Bible calls diverse defiled seed that has led us to a godless, wordless America. America has become godless and wordless. They don't believe. You know, it's not that you have to go out there and teach people how to believe God. They'll tell you, oh yeah, I believe God. And they believe zero in a perfect word of God. They believe zero in a word of God. That's where you have to stay. You got to lay that foundation. You got to get them to believe this Bible first before they can believe in a God. You know why? The Bible says this. Let me back up. Well, that's a good one too. How can you believe which receive honor one from another, not the honor that cometh from God alone?
Amen.
If you're worried about what people think of you, and you'll never believe. Jesus Christ taught that. He said, you'll never get saved. If you're worried about what other people think of you, you'll never get saved. How about that? People are going to go to hell, Brother David Vernon, because they're worried about what somebody's going to think of when they get saved.
Right.
That was a big struggle for us, huh, Ben? Struggle here. What are our families going to think of us? You know what? Today, we could care less about what our families think of us. And they know that. They know that. Why? Because we stay faithful to the house of God. We stay faithful in doing the things that He asks us to do. We don't compromise when we're in front of them. And they respect every bit of it. They do. How about it? My father-in-law listens to my preaching. My father-in-law couldn't stand me 15 years ago. He hated my guts. He'd tell you he didn't love me. He'd tell you he didn't even like me. He'd tell you he didn't want me with his daughter. What happened? I'm just telling you, God changes things.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not just the big things, the smoking and the drugs and all that. It's the other things, man. It's the things in your life where God can bring you to a place where you love America. I hated America. I was so anti-American, I'd spit on a flag right in front of you. It wouldn't bother me a bit. We could fight. That's all right. I didn't mind fighting either. Now I reverence that flag. You ask my wife and my kids, I walk up to every single soldier that I know is a soldier, and I thank them for what they've done to this country, and I honor them with all the honor that I can. You know why? Because God didn't just save me to take the drugs and alcohol out of my life. He saved me to change my entire life. My entire life. Well, how does he do this? How do you know what to do? I know it sounds simple, right? It sounds so simple, most won't do it. They got to go somewhere else to get it. Some guy's got to tell them, or some book, or someone's got to tell them something, because it's so simple, it's right in front of them, they just won't listen to it. Here's what Jeremiah says. In Jeremiah 6:10, he says, "Whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach." That's what it is. It's a reproach. I've sat and watched a few things on the King James Bible debate. And Pastor and Tanya going back and forth with people. And I said, you know what? The King James Bible is a reproach to those people. It's a King James Bible debate where they're trying to defend the King James Bible. And then when you put the truth out there, they get defensive on you. They don't believe it. It's a reproach to them, Pastor. It's a reproach to them that all they have to do is believe that Bible. They don't have to go anywhere else. And it becomes a reproach to them. They actually say, no, that is not true. No, because it didn't come from this lexicon. It wasn't translated this way and that way. Oh, my goodness. Thank God, Tanya, we don't have to learn all that nonsense to get saved and have a good life. Thank God I don't have to get buried up in all that stuff. Come on, I'm a convict. I'm an ex-criminal, man. I'm an ex-gang member. I'm a drunk, an alcoholic, a drug addict. And you mean to tell me I had to go through all that? Had to jump through all those hoops to have a deep relationship with Jesus? No, I just have to pick up this Bible and I got to listen to it. I got to listen to what it says from beginning to end. Amen. Well, you don't need the Old Testament anymore. Yes, you do. You want to know who Jesus Christ is? You'll find it right here.
Amen.
Hey, when you met your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you wanted to do everything in your power to get to know them. You wanted to know their color. I mean, you wanted to know their favorite food and everything else. Hey, it's all right here. You want to get to know Jesus? It's right here. You want to get to know Jesus? It's right here. Hey, that includes the Old Testament.
Yep.
Matter of fact, you won't understand the Old Testament until you get into the New Testament. Oh, excuse me. You won't understand the New Testament until you get into the New Testament. I said that backwards again. Let's try it one more time. You won't understand the New Testament until you understand the Old Testament. Because you have no clue what Paul's saying, okay? Remember, God sent Paul to teach us Gentiles because we didn't know the law.
That's right.
You want? Hey, I'm just saying, read the book of Leviticus and the book of Hebrews synonymous and read them together, and I'll tell you, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
It'll blow your mind. And Jesus Christ, everybody is all, they're all settled on, you know, Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecies. Great. That's wonderful. But if you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 17:21, he said, I didn't come to destroy the laws and the prophets, but I came to fulfill. What did he come to fulfill? Not just the prophecies, but the law. How many laws can you find that Jesus Christ filled?
Yeah.
You want to get to know him? You want to get to know him? You do study your Bible, right? This is what you said. Well, how many laws do you know that you can name right now that Jesus Christ fulfilled? Not just the prophecies, the law. Because if he didn't fulfill every one of them, we're all still damned. We have no hope. He had to be that perfect sacrifice that fulfilled every single law. And I can tell you this right now, they're all in the New Testament. I don't have every one of them, but I'm getting close. Within the next probably 20 years, I should have all of them. There's a lot of them, okay? But what a blessing to know that treasure is right here.
Amen.
And that seed, that corruptible seed, is not going to bear the fruit that God... And I know that sometimes that doesn't sit well with people, but that's okay. I'm not here to make things sit well with you. I'm here because God gave me a message to preach. If you don't like it, take it up with him. I didn't do it. Okay, I can't come up with stuff like this. I sit there and I ask my wife, and she'll look at me. And I go, "Babe, how do I even say stuff like that? Where does that come from? It can't be a knucklehead like me." I'm closing with this.
There's a fear that the believer and the non-believer alike should have in the statement that Jesus makes in John 12:48. He says, "He that rejecteth," remember that ETH means it's continuing to happen, "he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The very word, this King James Bible that I hold in my hand, the very word and truth that they are rejecting will be the same word used to judge them in the last day. That's a scary thought. That should be even more scary if you're not saved. I'm done.
Taylor will say, "Come, thank you."